The words of God given to us today is Joshua chapter 5, verse 15. The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Amen. We are now ringing in the new year 2026. I pray that the Lord's grace will be abundant in all of our congregation's households and workplaces throughout this year. With the beginning of the year 2026, the year 2025 has naturally become outdated or old. The word old means to have expired after an elapse of a certain time. And naturally, what has already elapsed cannot come back. However, what is important to note is that although the year 2025 and all the years and the days that came before today have become so-called outdated, they have not completely disappeared or vanished. We are now ringing in the new year 2026, and I pray that the Lord's grace will be abundant in all of our congregation's households and workplaces throughout this year. With the beginning of the year 2026, the year 2025 has naturally become outdated or old. The word old means to have expired after an elapse of a certain time. And what has already elapsed cannot come back. However, what is important to note is that although the year 2025 and all the years and all the days that have come before today have become so-called outdated, they have not completely disappeared or vanished. All the past days that we have lived have shaped who we are today. The most famous poem written by Samuel Ullman, the American businessman and poet, is called Youth, which he wrote at the age of 78 in the year 1918. However, this poem was not published during his lifetime. But this poem hung on the wall of General Douglas MacArthur's office in Tokyo when he was the Supreme Allied Commander in Japan. And General MacArthur also frequently quoted this poem in his speeches, making it even more widely known in Japan than in the United States. And the verses read as follows. Youth is not a time of life. It is a state of mind. It is not a matter of rosy cheeks, red lips, and supple knees. It is a matter of the will, a quality of the imagination, a vigor of the emotions. It is the freshness of the deep springs of life. Youth means a temperamental predominance of courage over timidity of the appetite, for adventure over the love of ease. This often exists in a man of 60 more than a boy of 20. Nobody grows old merely by a number of years. We grow old by deserting our ideals. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. Worry, fear, self-distrust bows the heart and turns the spirit back to dust. Whether 60 or 16, there is in every human being's heart the lure of wonder, the unfailing childlike appetite of what's next, and the joy of the game of living. In the center of your heart and my heart, there is a wireless station. So long as it receives messages of beauty, hope, cheer, courage, and power from men from the infinite, so long are you young. When the aerials are down and your spirit is covered with snows of cynicism and the ice of pessimism, then you are grown old even at 20, But as long as your aerials are up to catch the waves of optimism, there is hope. You may die young at 80. This poem emphasizes that being young doesn't necessarily mean living a new life or an adventurous life, nor does being old necessarily mean living an outdated or rusty life. We've all lived our due lives, proportional to our own age. The days have passed as much as our own age. And one may think that all those years have vanished beyond time. However, those years have surely shaped who we are and have left a legacy. Furthermore, while every living being may see January 1st approach, only those who diligently cultivate their ears and time will be able to welcome the new years in the truest sense. And those who do not understand this will continue to live as their old selves, no matter whether they are in their 20s or their 30s. On the other hand, those who embrace the fact that who I am today is a reflection of who I was yesterday, and that who I will be tomorrow will be a reflection of who I am today, can live each day as a new day and cultivate their lives anew every given day. We are already well-versed in the life of Moses through the book of Exodus. After Joseph became prime minister in Egypt, the family of Jacob, or the house of Israel, migrated to Egypt, numbering only 70. However, their numbers have increased rapidly thereafter. In time, King Pharaoh ascended the throne of Egypt, who did not know about Joseph. The Pharaoh's ignorance of Joseph does not mean that he didn't actually know who Joseph was or what he did during the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. Rather, what this means is that the Pharaoh refused to acknowledge the importance of Joseph. The Pharaoh feared the growing number of the Israelites, and at the time, a large population meant a formidable military force. Consequently, he reduced the Israelites to slaves, subjecting them to even harsher labor. And despite this, the Israelites continued to multiply in number. And finally, the Pharaoh ordered a decree that when an Israelite was born, any daughters will be spared, but that all sons be killed. His intention was to wipe out the Israelites. And Moses was born during this time. Moses was first raised by his parents for 3 months immediately after his birth, and then as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He then lived out in the Midian desert, attending his father-in-law's sheep, until he reached the age of 80. Finally, when the time came for God to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, he called on Moses to become the vessel for carrying out God's works. Exodus chapter 3, verse 5 reads, "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." God has said that the place where Moses was standing was holy ground. And the reason why God said so was not because the Midian desert, where Moses was tending his sheep, was the birthplace of a particular religion, nor because there was a grand temple there, like the temple of Artemis in Ephesus. Furthermore, it was not because God has shown his presence on that ground. In fact, God has said, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." Where Moses was standing, there were only a few different groups of grass for sheep and the goats to graze, and small bushes and trees, like the bush that Moses had gazed at with a puzzled look, because a fire did not consume the trees. Yet, God declared that the place where Moses stood was indeed the holy ground. This is because no matter where you are, a place or a ground becomes holy and sanctified when one takes off their sandals. When God called on Moses, he said, "Take off your sandals." God could have said, "Take off your outer garments," or "Put down that staff of yours." But why did God say, quote unquote, "Take off your sandals"? The book of Luke, chapter 15, contains one of the most beautiful and moving parables that Jesus has ever told. It is the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son. The younger son asked his father for his share of the inheritance, which was considered an outrageous request at the time. But the younger son squandered his inheritance, and during a severe famine, he became a pig herder, a job that was unacceptable for the Jews. Yet, no one gave him even the pods of peas, which were usually eaten only by the most impoverished or by livestock. Finally, the younger son remembered his father, who generously distributed food to his workers, and decided to return home. He resolved to tell the heavens and his father that he had sinned against them and that he should be treated as one of their hired servants and not as a son. And with such resolve, he returned home. Upon seeing the second son, the father said, Luke chapter 15, verse 22. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." The father had his servants dress his younger son in the best robe, or the first robe. The father believed that his son would return, and he had numbered the robes that the son would wear, of which he said to bring the first one. Here, robe signifies status. Giving the best robe to his younger son meant that his status as the son of the father was restored. The father also had his servants place a ring on his younger son's hand. The ring signifies the rights as a son. In other words, it meant that the rights of the younger son have been restored to its original position. When the younger son left, he took his due inheritance and left. Had the younger son not returned, that must have been the end of it. However, by putting a ring on him, the father has restored him to the state that he had been in before taking the inheritance away. The father also had his servants put sandals on his younger son. In the ancient times, sandals were a sign of freedom and a confirmation that he was the son of a master. So at the time, slaves did not wear any sandals. Up until 80, Moses had lived in the Egyptian palace for 40 years and the rest of the 40 years in the Midian desert. For the duration of those 80 years, Moses thought that he was the master of his own life. Whether he held an enviable position from its appearance or a humble one, as long as Moses was still the master of his own life, God could not have used Moses. The first thing that God had asked of Moses upon calling him was to take off his sandals. What God meant was, for the past 80 years, Moses, you have lived your life according to your own will, but from now on, you will live a life of obedience according to my will. And the exodus that I will entrust to you will not be done according to your own plans, but according to my own, and you will be used as a vessel for such work. And indeed, as a sign of obedience, Moses took off his sandals then and there, and from then on, he became the vessel and a tool for God to carry out his works. In time, the Israelites left Egypt and endured 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Moses died after fulfilling God's calling, and Joshua succeeded him as the leader of the Israelites. Joshua and the Israelites witnessed what might be called a second parting of the Red Sea when God blocked the overflowing waters of the Jordan River and dried up its riverbed. Finally, they arrived at Gilgal, at the land of Canaan, which was the land promised by God. There, in obedience to God's command, the Israelites performed circumcision, which had been suspended for 40 years, and also celebrated Passover, which had also been suspended for 40 years. Then the commander of the Lord's army appeared before Joshua and said, which is today's scripture, verse 15. The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. The commander of the Lord's army said the same thing that God had said to Moses, which is, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." Sandals, or shoes, are at the lowest level of one's garments. And this is why it can be said that shoes is an envelopment of the person that they hold. When you look at a person's shoes, it's not the shoes that you're looking at, but actually the presence or the character of the person as a whole. When you apply for a company to land a job, you need to submit a resume. A resume is called 이력서 in Korean, and each of the three Chinese characters mean steps, passing of time, and written letters, respectively. So whether you have lived 20 to 30 years or 60 to 70 years, you would have experienced many things and have gone through many stages in life. A resume is a written record of the events and the steps that one has taken and personally experienced in the past. Therefore, shoes or sandals is a metonymy, which represents the walks of life that one has experienced thus far. Therefore, the words "take off your sandals" mean, put down your own will and life before God. Do not rely on yourself, but trust in me, your Lord God. Joshua and the Israelites are now faced with a task of taking down the seemingly impregnable city of Jericho and of living as God's people in the land of Canaan. And God is commanding them to accomplish all these things according to his own will, not their own, and according to his own words, not their own. The year 2025 marked the 20th anniversary of the founding of our church, and the year 2026 will mark its 21st. If the past 20 years of our church have been a period of Moses taking off his sandals, the years ahead of our church will be the period of Joshua taking off his sandals. And this is why we chose this year's church motto as "Take off your sandals," as written in Joshua chapter 5, verse 15. Over the past 20 years, our church has experienced many events, both large and small. And through all these years, what we can confess in unison is that God had led us through it all. Just because the Israelites have crossed the Jordan River or destroyed the walls of Jericho did not mean that they have taken over the land of Canaan completely. Even after such events, Each tribe had to fight for the land assigned to them, and even after taking over such land, they struggled to obey God's words and to not follow the values of the Canaanites. As we navigate our lives in this 21st century in the land of Korea, if we faithfully walk the path of the church as a church, the pastor as a pastor, and the congregation as a congregation, then in another 20 years, we will again confess all together that God had led us through it all. This year in particular, there will be a vote of confidence for three co-senior pastors, including myself. It is stipulated under paragraph 1 of Article 19, Vote of Confidence for Senior Pastor, of our church's Article of Incorporation, that each newly appointed senior pastor shall obtain a vote of confidence from the Common Assembly upon the first anniversary of his or her commencement of ministry. If one fails to obtain such vote of confidence, they need to step down as the senior pastor. This was the old version, meaning that once a senior pastor obtains the initial vote, they will be kept appointed until their final year of retirement. However, this clause was revised in the year 2024, and a new paragraph has been added stipulating that a senior pastor who has earned the vote of confidence shall obtain another vote of confidence from the Common Assembly every 7 years thereafter. This clause was added at the request of our co-senior pastors to our church's Article Revision Committee. This reflects our co-senior pastors' resolve to serve this church until the last day of their appointment as the servants who took off their sandals before the Lord. Our church began the co-pastorship in November 2018 and were appointed as co-pastors a year later in November 2019. And this November will mark our 7th anniversary where all duly obtained the vote of confidence. It can be said that we are entering our second term of service. The future of our country's politics, economy, society, national defense, and diplomacy for this year still remains uncertain. In particular, the unstable exchange rate, the seemingly endless surge in real estate prices, and the U.S.'s high tariff policies are weighing heavily on the hearts of our citizens. News of global wars continue unabated, and the protectionist policies of major powers, including the U.S. and China, will only intensify. Accordingly, the year 2026 is expected to be even more challenging in most areas compared to the year 2025. Nevertheless, we still remain hopeful despite all of this, because the providence of God, who governs and works over the Republic of Korea and our own lives, is with us. God has always shown his mysterious works throughout the turbulent history of this country since the Japanese colonial period. Therefore, no matter how difficult our circumstances are, we still have hope. Moreover, if our church and each of us live in obedience to the Lord's command to take off our sandals, then this year will truly be a new year, where we put off our old selves and take on our new selves. And only then God will use us as the vessels to renew our families and transform our workplaces. He will also transform the churches of this land and renew our society. If we live this year and every year that comes after this year in such faith, then our lives will be truly blessed. Let us give thanks to God who continues to bestow his trust in us and allow us to begin a new year. And let us share New Year's greetings with those around us. This year, let us take off our sandals before the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for not only extending the longevity of our lives this year, but also bestowing your belief in us and allowing us to give this New Year's worship to begin the new year. The days that we have lived thus far have not always been easy. We also confess that while we have renewed our resolutions annually as we turned over our calendars, we have felt the weight of not living up to our full potential towards the end of the year. Nevertheless, we trust in our Lord who, at every juncture, extends your hand of providence and allow us to work together for the good. And with this faith, we ring in the new year 2026. We give thanks for allowing us to establish the 100th anniversary Memorial Church 20 years ago and for guiding us to this day. God called Moses and said, "Take off your sandals," made him your servant, and used him as a vessel to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Thank you for making our church your servant and for using us as the salt and light and as a vessel for the Yanghwajin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and the Korean Christian Martyrs Memorial Hall, as well as for the Korean churches and our society for the past 20 years. When the children of Israel entered the Promised Land, right before they entered the land of Canaan, you again commanded Joshua to take off his sandals. This was a command and an order to solely obey God in order to fully claim victory over the land of Canaan, rather than succumbing to its military or economic power. Thank you for giving our church the motto, "Take off your sandals," for this year. Our church is looking forward to the upcoming 20 years. Let us take off our sandals and solely obey God. And let us preserve the church's identity as a church, the pastor's identity as a pastor, and the congregation's identity as a congregation, so that we can faithfully pave the road towards the 200 years of Korean Christianity. Despite the difficult circumstances that we are in, let us still obey your words to take off your sandals, so that our households, workplaces, and our society becomes healthier and more renewed. And in doing so, let this year truly mark the year of change for all of us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.